Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So today we are talking about the power of communication, this first Pentecost Sunday. So God, throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, has one story. And I call that the big God story, right? It's God's story and how our story interact with each other. So at some point, all of us have to acknowledge the work of Jesus in our lives. It's what these children are beginning to do this first Holy Communion. They are beginning to say for themselves, I own my faith in Jesus. Now we learn that through the table that we actually receive the forgiveness of sins because we are acknowledging the need for Jesus, that we are acknowledging the sin of our own life. Now the problem is, and this is completely off script here, the problem here is the world doesn't recognize what sin is. So if I were to ask every person in this room, define for me what is sin, each of us may have a different answer. Some of us may come close to what each other says, but here today, we recognize that sin is something that separates us from God and our relationship with Him. That's what sin is, in simplicity. So today, through First Communion, these kids recognize, yes, I too am a sinner, and I need Jesus. And I don't know about you all, but when do you remember your first sin you've ever committed? All of us as children at some point commit a sin. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's, you know, telling a fib. I don't want to talk about my son's sin in the back because he's in the room this morning. But he's 5. Hi, Ricky Lee. He's 5. But we all sin. So, that's right. He's not supposed to play Minecraft. All right. So in the scriptures this morning, we see numerous times where our God meets the people where they are. Now, what do I mean by that? There's a story in John 4 that talks about the woman at the well, right? And she's found in adultery, and Jesus meets her there and forgives her. And he tells her one simple thing. Go and sin no more. Now, it's not that she could be sinless. That wouldn't happen. But she can certainly try. She could be repentant. When we repent from our sins, So when we sin and we repent, we try to have a changed life. Now, let's go back to the whole big God story. So here we are at Pentecost, where all of God's people are able to communicate. All of them. And I want you to think back to Genesis, to a story called the Tower of Babel. Maybe it's a lesson you remember from Sunday school, where the people of God tried to build a tower to reach God, to be like God. And what did God do? He separated them. He made them go to different lands and speak different languages. But in this story, that sin, in one instance, is forgiven. And they're reunited and able to communicate with each other for the first time in a long time. See, this story is fantastic. It's stunning. It's spectacular. See, a rush of violent wind, tongues like fire, landing on each person. And again, you could go back in your bulletin this morning. It's that Acts chapter 2 passage. A loud sound of many Galilean voices speaking many languages. So who has been to a place where you have heard many languages spoken? Now, for some of y'all, the first time you've met me, I am not from Maryland. Everyone that goes to church here knows I'm not from Maryland, right? I am from Louisiana, and then we moved to Florida. So when I think of my experience, I think of going to Disney. And when I would go to Disney World, oftentimes I would hear many languages, and I didn't recognize most of them. And then I would fly out of an airport in Miami, an international airport, and every language you could think of was being spoken. And I would think, how wonderful would it be if I could hear the conversations? You know, maybe that's eavesdropping. But I would like to be able to understand all these languages being spoken. I'm quite jealous of those people that can speak 3, 4, 5 languages. Even 2. If I could just speak Spanish, I'd be happy. But Jesus, God in this story, gave them that ability to communicate across cultures, across people groups. And my first call to ordained ministry, which I was ordained 5 years ago yesterday, all right? So Pentecost Sunday is such a special Sunday. It's great. It's the time I do confirmations and first communions and, of course, ordinations, because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit coming upon us as the people of God. But see, in this first call, within my church, I had many people from Finland, the Finnish. Do we have any Finns here this morning? No? We had one in the last service. We had Germans, South Africans, Swedens, and many other countries. And there was one church that was maybe, I don't know, 25 minutes from us. And every time a person from a different country was to come to church, they would have a flag in their fellowship hall representing those countries. And they had over 200 flags in that one congregation. See, it's a true melting pot. But again, I can't speak the language. I don't understand them. And in fact, back in the scripture, they thought it was so crazy that these people that the Holy Spirit was gifting were actually drunk. It's just unbelievable that they could speak in these languages. But God was creative in the way he invited a diverse people group into a relationship with him. And when God speaks clearly and understandably to us, it makes us easy to trust God for what he does. And Peter explains that prophecy is being fulfilled. For God's Spirit has been poured down on the people of God. This Spirit also provokes us to dream God's dream. Now, I'm big about visioning for our future. What does that mean, to vision for our future? For a long time, we had a board out here that asked, what do you believe is God's vision for our future here at First Lutheran Church? Now, some of you guys, I don't know if you come where you go to church or whatnot, but I hope that each of you are in communities that has a vision to reach people for Jesus, because that's all I care about. I care about reaching the lost for Jesus, right? It's not about stealing sheep from other congregations. It's about finding the sheep in this community who don't have a relationship with God and helping them find it. And I told these kids this as well at their first communion. We can learn all the religious lingo and not have a relationship with Jesus. So that's what I care about. See, the Spirit that we speak about leads salvation to humanity, to the righting of wrongdoing and the reconciliation among the people of God, because even us Christians fight with each other. Did you guys know that? 500 denominations, at least, because people can't get along with each other. And then churches don't get along and they split, right? This happens. But in fact, what the Holy Spirit is telling us is that we can indeed be reconciled to one another, that we can get along, that we can love each other despite our differences. The Pentecost moment was truly a multivocal one. See, God deems that all of God's people, that all of God's people will hear the good news of Jesus in a language that they will understand. A creative way to speak to diverse people groups at the same time, communicating the gospel creatively. The church is called to tell of God's incredible mercy in a multivocal way so that all people can hear and be saved. There's scripture that talk about how can people know the gospel if they never hear it. So again, it's our job to tell people about Jesus and his saving work, Because if they never hear the gospel and you're the only Christian they may know, what do you expect? Yeah, the Holy Spirit does the hard work. But God has gifted you relationships with people that don't know him. Yes, it means for us translating the gospel into different languages, into Spanish and Mandarin, in music and prayers, and liturgy that reaches across generations and cultures. It means understanding my generation. I'm a millennial, if you didn't know. We get a bad rep, right? All over the place. It means understanding the baby boomers. It means understanding the silent generation and every generation in between. And we're not all that different, believe it or not. That was one gift I had going to Florida and being in ministry there is some of your best friends are the age of your parents. So I got to know people in a way that I would have never got to know them. See, it means importing cultural idioms that God's word is plain and accessible to teenagers and children. And I can tell you, I thank my wife for doing this to me because every time she's like, you're going over their head again. Fix how you're talking. Because we have to be able to communicate clearly to every generation. We have to translate the gospel into so what sound bites because they want to know, so what, you believe in God? What does it matter? We need to be able to tweet and text. All right, who's got Twitter? Anybody? I have one, but I don't really use it. The last president used Twitter a lot. So we can certainly learn how to use Twitter and tweet and post on Facebook and share videos on TikTok when we need to spread the gospel. And I'm still working on the last one, even though I'm young. God created a new community at Pentecost through effective communication. But the creative work of the Spirit is as old as time. From the moment God spoke the world into being, God has been working on creative ways to speak to humanity. So, let's apply this for us this morning. How is God calling First Evangelical Lutheran Church at Gray Manor to do just this? How is he calling us to be multivocal in our approach to sharing the gospel? Now, somebody told me in between services that it's not that hard to learn Spanish. Do we have any bilingual people in this room this morning? Nobody? No, a little bit? A little bit? See, we need that. We need to be able to communicate to our neighbors. So again, off script here. One Christmas Eve, we decided to go Christmas caroling in this mostly trailer park community right by the church. Nothing wrong with that. But they were different from the average person in my congregation. So we decided we're going to go sing Christmas carols. And it was 99% Spanish. But we sung, and we praised God, and we taught one of our young staff members why it was important to go do this. And I remember the people not being able to understand us, but they knew we were praying for them. And that's all that mattered. We were praying for them. Even though we couldn't understand their name, we didn't know their situations. Now there's this thing on your phone, Google Translate, and you could speak fluidly with each other. But not really then. But we were praying for them. So even though there's a language barrier, it doesn't stop you from being human and being a faithful Christian. And I believe for us, oftentimes, it means losing our labels in order to be multivocal, in order to be able to present the gospel message to other people. Now, as my congregation knows here, I didn't grow up Lutheran. I just happen to be a Lutheran pastor now. I grew up Methodist and Presbyterian and hopped around all kind of different places. And at one part of my life, the sin in my life was that I was trying to spread the theology of my church more than I was trying to spread Jesus. And so I repented of my sin, and now again, for 5 years, I've been a Lutheran pastor. It's important But it's not the label that defines us, right? What matters the most, my wife's correcting me, 4 years. What matters most is that we love Jesus, that other people know that we have a relationship with Christ. So, when visitors come, and now I'm preaching to the choir, when visitors come to our churches, what are some of the first things they notice? Well, I was told within 10 minutes, a visitor will make a judgment about your congregation, if they will ever come back again. 10 minutes. All right? One of the things they look for is, do we have opportunities to disciple children, and do we do it well, right? Not that we just offer daycare or childcare during service, but is it a good childcare, right? They care about our ministries to those kids and youth. They care what our bathrooms look like, right? They care about all these little things, and the world is starting to develop. Now, again, I'm not from here, so my cultural understanding may be a little different. I'm still learning. I've been here about 8 months now. But the point here is, before anyone comes and visits your church now, they look you up on Facebook. They Google your website, and they see any Yelp reviews you may have. So, I think it keeps us accountable. It makes the church move forward and thrive. And this is every church in America. So, we have to, in some ways, lose our identity to Jesus. Our identity is in Christ and Christ alone and Him crucified. And this morning, we will do some of this. We will announce together in our worship service, the Apostles' Creed. Now, some of us may have grown up with that. Some of us may have not. I consider myself to be a creedal Christian. And so what that means is we share in common, no matter what kind of church you grew up in, those things of the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. All facts of the faith. Because Christ is our identity. Christ is who we're trying to communicate to. And it's how we become multivocal, to engage our community in such a time as this, about spreading the gospel message. And our church is already doing this through our financial support of various ministries. And before COVID, I understand we were hands-on doing ministries in the community more so than now. Soon we have multiple families that are wanting to help with food insecurity in this community. So if you are a visitor this morning and you want to help with food insecurity, because there are people in Dundalk, in Gray Manor, and I'm sure in the surrounding areas that don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And I know I'm hitting this like 10 times probably now, but it is so important. So we have a house here next door that is known as the storage house. And it's mostly been a storage house. But we're going to start using it for ministry. Jen's our new property chair, and one of the things she did is we got a work group together, and I think it was like 3 or 4 Saturdays ago, and we cleared that front room out, and we're going to put some shelving and whatnot in there, and we're going to start ministry. And then what my hope is that is found in Christ. The only desire is to feed the children of God in this community. And it doesn't matter what church you belong to, so if you want to be a part of that, send me an email. My email's in the bulletin, and I'd love to connect with you. But we have a threefold vision I've kind of started here, and it is faith, family, and future. Faith is that we care about our relationship with Jesus. Family is that we want to equip parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever, to build up these young people in Christ. And also to build up baby Christians, because you could be 99 years old and be a baby Christian, right? You've just now understood what Jesus is for your own life. We want to be able to share with our faith and our local church in this community to create disciples. So let's think about it. Again, we are a Lutheran church. And in 1534, Martin Luther translated the Bible into German. So for the first time in the history of the church, the common person, that's all of us, me too, could understand the Word of God in their own language. 1534. Okay? 1500 years or more, people didn't understand. They had to go to the pastor or the priest to understand the word. Now we have an app on our phone, and every single person can access the word of God for themselves. And if you don't have a smartphone, you don't have a Bible this morning, I will find you a Bible and give it to you. There's got to be one around here somewhere. That is what we have to do. We have to translate the word of God for future generations to understand. That the word of God becomes more than a history book, but a living, breathing book that transpires all space, all time, because God is defined in the word. That we can live out the Great Commission defined for us here in Acts, including all languages and all other aspects. I believe that sometimes churches lose their focus. They lose their focus and we care about, I don't know, numbers of people in the pews, things like this. But what I care about is getting back to the primary focus here, to communicate the word of God with people. So regardless if you come to our church, if you speak German, Greek, Hebrew, whatever, somehow we will give you the word of God for your life. So here in closing this morning, we're going to ponder this together. We as a church are called primarily to build disciples and meet people where they are. We are called as the people of God to be multivocal, using multiple platforms to get our message across. Right now, we're doing that two ways. We're here on Sunday mornings, and we try our best to put it online. And we need to find even more ways to reach people for Jesus. We are called to reach people of all ages, races, nationalities, etc. And we are called to love all of God's creation, to love him and trust him no matter what. So we have some translating to do, the people of God, so that all will know God's love for them, and that we as the church can bear witness to the one truth, and that is that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. God, your word through the book of Acts this morning. God, that you were creative in communicating with us the truth found in your word. So God, all of God's people that are in this sanctuary this morning, God, regardless of who they are or where they go to church, God, that you use them for your word, for your truth, for your love to be shared throughout the world. God, we love you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.